May what I speak, may what you hear, be in the name of the God of love, who creates, redeems, and sustains every single one of us. Amen. Please be seated. Well, first things first, I hope you've all got two of these little blue prayer cards. Maybe. Little blue Saviour in Storm prayer cards. If you haven't got some, then apologies. And there's plenty more. Ingeborg has some more at the back. Please get some on your way out. I'll come back to those later. It's always dangerous to mention something because everybody keeps looking at it then. But I'll come back to that later. But first, what about that gospel, eh? Jesus calming the storm. I don't know if you've noticed this, maybe you have, but there are lots and lots and lots of stories involving boats and lakes and storms in the Gospels. Have you noticed that? In fact, scholars tell us that Jesus rescuing his disciples from a storm is one of the very few episodes in the life of Jesus which is recounted in all four Gospels. All four. For example, even an event as important as the birth of Jesus, the Christmas story, is only in two, Matthew and Luke. But not so these stories about storms. Yeah? Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, all four of them, in one version or another, have a retelling of how Jesus could bring calm in the middle of the chaos. How Jesus could bring peace in the middle of the storm. Quite clearly then, these episodes, like this morning's, are very, very important. In fact, I would go further, and I would say that to me, it looks like these stories of Jesus calming the storm are kind of little mini-gospels within the gospel. Yeah? They're sort of little summaries in just one story of what the whole gospel is about. Let me explain what I mean. You see, it all starts on the lake shore, on the lakeside. It starts with Jesus meeting people where they are, where we are. It starts with Jesus coming into people's lives and saying, come follow me, come follow me. Leave everything behind. Put down all that baggage. Put down all that stuff that's holding you back and come follow me. And so, they, some of the folks in the Bible, and we too, who have been drawn to Jesus, we say, with varying degrees of enthusiasm, we say, yeah, sure, I'll give it a go. I'll follow you. And so we step into the boat, so to speak. We cross the threshold of the church, so to speak. We decide to follow, and off we go. Off we go. But then, at various times on the journey, somewhere out there on the deep water, far from the safety of dry land, out there we run into trouble. Yeah? We encounter high seas, choppy waters, stormy weather, dark clouds. You know the sort of thing. And that choppy waters, those storms, they come in many forms. In fact, if I was to categorize the kind of storms we face in life into two categories, I would say the first kind of category of storm we meet are the storms of suffering. Yeah? Storms of illness, for example. Or the storms of grief, maybe. Or the storms of loneliness or despair. All those storms can, like gales sweeping down on a lake, they can come out of nowhere and threaten to turn us and our world upside down. And then the second category of storms, I think, that we meet in life are the storms of temptation. You know what I mean? These are the storms we run into when old bad habits refuse to die. These are the storms we run into when all that stuff, the anger, the greed, the bitterness, the envy, the jealousy, you name it, all that stuff we thought we'd left behind on the shore, we find it still with us, and it's threatening to sink us. I think we all know about those storms of temptation. But either way, whether it's storms of suffering or storms of temptation, either way, the wind begins to blow, the water gets choppy, and our little boat begins to fill with water. And if we're honest, we can be terrified. Terrified that we will perish. And maybe even terrified that we've made a big mistake. We should have stayed back on the shore. You know, at least there we were safe. At least there we knew where we were. Well, if any of that has been your experience, like it has been mine, then let me say this to you. You're not alone. You're not alone. You're not alone, firstly, because we've all been there. Trust me, we've all been there. We've all, like the disciples, cried out, "Master, wake up! We're dying here. We need you." And secondly, you're not alone because Jesus has been there too. Jesus has been there too, in both types of storms. On the one hand, remember this, the Jesus who cried out in the fullness of his divinity to rebuke the stormy sea is the same Jesus who later cries out in the fullness of his humanity, cries out on the cross, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" In other words, he too, Jesus, knows what it's like to feel overwhelmed by the storms of suffering. He too knows what it's like to sink down into the waters of despair and even death. So you're not alone. And then on the other hand, when it comes to the storms of temptation, Jesus has been there too. Next month we'll begin Lent. And the reading on the first Sunday of Lent, I can tell you a bit of a preview, is Jesus spending 40 days in the wilderness. Remember? 40 days being tempted. 40 days being tempted to take the easy option. 40 days being tempted to do the popular thing. Not necessarily the right thing. 40 days being tempted to go for an easy life rather than a full life. So again, you are not alone. You're not alone when you face those storms of temptation. Jesus has been there too. In fact, he has endured and he has overcome those storms. And with his help, we can too. But here's the thing. I don't know about you, but sometimes I'm inclined to forget. So let me tell you a story. This is a true story about a man called Frank Griswold. Frank was the bishop, the presiding bishop, the head bishop, the archbishop, as it were, of the Anglican Church in America, the Episcopal Church in the United States. A big job, a stressful job, a difficult job. In fact, when Frank was first made a bishop, Frank found it terribly difficult to sleep at night. Often he would wake up in the middle of the night with his mind racing with all the stuff he had to do, his mind racing with all the problems he had to face. You know the sort of thing? In fact, one night, Frank was tossing and turning in bed so much that his wife gave him an elbow, as wives sometimes do, and said, "Frank, what's wrong? What's wrong?" she said. "I can't sleep," said Frank. "I just keep thinking of everything I'm facing and everything I have to do. I can't do it all. It's going to kill me. I can't do it all." To which his wife replied, "Of course you can't do it all. I thought that was the whole point. Only God can." To which Frank replied, "I suppose you're right." And he put his head back down on the pillow and fell asleep. You see, even bishops, God help us, even bishops sometimes forget that they're not alone in the storms of life. And so that's why I, who am not even a bishop, that's why I keep one of these little prayer cards in my wallet. And it's why I've given two to each of you this morning. One of the cards I'd like you to keep. Put it in your purse, put it in your wallet, use it as a bookmark, whatever. And then the other card, the second one, I'd like you to give it away. I'd like you to think, who do I know who's going through a tough time right now? Who do I know who's facing some storm or other in their life? And then perhaps when you've thought of that person, and if you think it appropriate, please give them the card the next time you see them. Well, it's only a little card, I know, but it's a reminder. It's a reminder to us that we do have a Savior in storm. A reminder to us that, yea, though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, thou art with me. A reminder to us that no matter what happens in life, no matter what storms come our way, and come our way they will, you betcha, no matter what storm comes, we'll never be left to face it alone. So maybe we'll say the little prayer together, if you have one in front of you. Jesus, Savior in storm, when the waters of the deep are broken up, when the landmarks are washed away or drowned, come to us across the water. Amen.